future, talk radio will actually educate, inspire, and make you think. The future is now. Topics and music that affect your life from Universal Broadcasting Network. Tune in at ubnradio.com.
We're talking love in the modern world. This is Dates and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman. I can't care about anything
but you. Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to Dates and Mates. I'm your host, Damona Hoffman, and it's another wonderful Wednesday here in Hollywood. We are in the countdown to Valentine's Day, my friends. You have just 3 weeks and 2 days to get your Valentine's date lined up. And let me tell you something, you don't want to wait until February 13th to get your date for February 14th. You got to screen them, check them out, make sure you're with the person that you want to be with on that special day. So that means, basically, you need to get a date like now. So we'll get you all set up today. We have a really great show. But first, what I want you to do is sign in to the chat roll, because we really want your feedback on today's show. We're going to be giving you lots of really valuable dating advice that you can start using tomorrow. But if you don't tell us what's on your mind today, we can't help you. So we'll give you lots of great tips. But if you want some specific feedback, sign into that UBN Radio chat roll. You can do that with Facebook or Twitter, or your assumed name, or your J-Date profile handle, whatever. But just sign in there so you can join in the conversation. And we are here with producer Natasha. What's up, girl?
Not much. It looks like we've already got a caller coming in.
Oh my goodness.
How interesting. I wonder.
Could it be our guest?
It could be our guest. Huh.
Okay, let's take a chance.
Let's take a chance.
You're on Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman. Who's this?
Yes, this is your host.
Oh, it's our guest. It's Arthur. Okay, we're going to introduce you in just a minute. So if you can just hold tight for us. We have some business to take care of first, but I'm really
excited.
I'll
be here, yeah.
You guys just got a sneak peek of our special guest for today. And so producer Natasha.
Yes.
How are you doing on your Valentine's Day, you know, pre-search?
great. I think I'll have a date for sure, which is great.
I know you're always,
I just
always
don't know,
out there.
Yeah, I just don't know, you know, how it's going to happen, but it'll be there.
She has a Dear Mrs. D approved profile, so I know. But you know, it's Valentine's Day always made me really anxious when I was single. And I wonder for the happily single like you, if you have that same kind of anxiety over it.
No.
No, you're just like, whatever happens. All right, well, there's probably some people at home who are a little bit anxious that Valentine's Day is coming. But luckily for you, I have three of the hottest dating coaches in the biz today. I got three guys. We're going to like pump up the testosterone factor today. You just heard one, Arthur, who's going to be our first guest. These fellas are from the International Dating Coach Association, and they're going to share their secrets on first dates, on confidence building, body language, and flirting later in the show. But first, we're going to do Dee's Dating Dish.
Dee's Dating Dish.
Okay, this is a very interesting story, producer Natasha. There's a recent survey from Christian Mingle and J-Date that showed that, get this, 69%, that number is not a coincidence, no, 69% of singles have, and this is a quote, no idea if they're on a date or just hanging out. This is like, they question singles
terrible.
Between 18 and 59. So this isn't just like the young chippies. This is like, wow. Everybody don't really know if they're hanging out or if it's a real date. Have you had a hangout date lately?
No, I don't even know. I don't even know what that is. That's really pathetic that people don't know if they're on a date or...
No, it's really popular.
How is that possible? How is that possible? How can you not know if you're on a date?
Because people are not setting like the rules for their date. They're just letting whatever happens. You get a number and it's like, let's hang out. Oh, okay. So my friends are getting together. Okay, well, I'll just swing by that bar. And now you're like, am I on a date? Am I not on a date? This is really weird. I have a few rules for knowing if your date is serious, if you are on a serious date, and if you're not following these rules, you probably are just hanging out. So, okay, rule number one, do not take a same day date. This happens all the time, particularly with online dating. Like, hey, what are you doing later? Oh, nothing. I'm just available and free whenever you feel like hanging out with me. Sure. How about tonight? Great. You know what? That's a one-way ticket into some guy's bed that you don't know.
That you don't want to be in. Yeah.
Or to hangout date. Number two, do not bring a friend to make yourself feel more comfortable. Do not let your date bring a friend to be your wingman. Because that...
Does that really happen?
Girl,
what?
All the time. Oh, especially with new online daters. They're like a little nervous. I don't really know if online dating is for me. And I don't know who this guy is. So I'll just bring my friend along. If you bring your friend, make sure they are undercover. They are up at the bar. Just there in case of emergency. That's something else that my clients do. Number three, producer Natasha. No meeting for a drink after your real plans have ended. This happens all the time.
Wait, go explain.
So like, oh, I have real plans. I have real dinner plans with my real friends. But then, oh, we can all just grab a drink afterwards and hang out. No.
Huh. That's an interesting one.
You've never done this. You're very mature.
I can't imagine doing that.
Oh, no. It happens all the time. And, wow. You know, especially like with Tinder where, you know, it's all location based and all the apps where you're just trying to find somebody who's nearby, you know, a warm body. Like, you don't want to have your real, you want to be the real plan. You don't want to have a real right. plan and then go and have drinks afterwards. No, that is a sure way to not be on a real date. So if you're a little bit confused, follow those three tips and you can get on the fast track for a serious date. Our second dating dish story, award season is upon us. You may have been reading my live tweets from the Golden Globes. And, you know, I was not spreading any rumors myself, but what always seems to happen in this award season time is all this speculation about the single stars and who they're seeing and, you know,
whether or not they're gay. And yep.
Okay. I have seen a frenzy like I have not seen in years over Jared Leto.
Huh.
And, you know, like, let's be honest, all of us who grew up in the
yes.
age of
Jordan,
you know,
Catalano.
My so-called life. Yeah. Have like a mage crush on Jared Leto. But, man, everybody, like, he can't take a picture with somebody without a story coming out that he's dating them. He's been rumored to be associated with Taylor Swift.
Ooh.
Literally, all they did was take a picture back, like, at a party and like, tweeted it or put it on Instagram. And they're like, he's dating her.
That's terrible.
Emilia Clarke, who used to date, what's that guy from Family Guy?
Seth MacFarlane. We're both like Seth Hoffman.
We have too many Seths.
We know too many Seths, yeah.
And also Lupita Nyong'o from 12 Years a Slave. You know, because they literally, I saw the picture. It is like, hey, bud. And people are like, oh, my God, they're dating. But this is what happens when you bring your brother to the Golden Globes, you bring your mom to the SAG
right.
Awards, people go and be talking. And yep. when you're as cute as Jared Leto is, yep. even with that long, scraggly hair, what the heck? And then there's somebody, Natalie Lorraine.
Who's that?
I don't know, an actress, model type, that he's supposed to really be dating. Apparently they just did a short film together. Apparently they went on some vacation together in December. But I would be mad if I didn't get the date to the Golden Globes or the SAG Awards, or at least the SAG Awards, something.
Oh, you got to bring mom and brother and you got to bring the family. I don't know about the date.
You know, you would be pissed if you had Jared Leto on your arm. He's like, I'm bringing my brother.
No, I would totally respect that. For
All
sure.
right. Jared Leto, if you need a very understanding girlfriend, I have her for you. My last story of the day. It's a little suspicious.
Uh-oh.
So our friends over at Facebook, according to businessinsider.com, they are now forcing the smaller dating sites they're like rejecting their ads until after Valentine's Day. They said, we're not taking any new dating site advertisements until February 15th, conveniently the day after Valentine's Day.
Wow, that is
so
really terrible.
Yeah, like all your foodie dating sites and your vegan dating sites and your skier and farmer dating sites, you're not going to be seeing them on Facebook.
That's terrible. They want more money.
Yeah, so they want them to do like a big ad buy so they can't even compete with the larger dating sites that are out there. It's kind of sad to me.
That is really sad. I mean, and Facebook is used as such a online dating site itself, you know? So it's,
let's
that's
be
really
honest. Yeah, and a lot of the apps use Facebook to even log in.
Right.
So I don't know. It sounds suspicious to me, but I will tell you, I think one of the best times to get a date is February 15th. Because the pressure is off then.
Huh.
And so then everybody that was not with a date on February 15th, that's like, you know, you know, I really want a serious relationship. They're ready to start that instead of being in the rush from January 1st.
Right.
That's my two cents.
I agree.
Enough dish. Let's get down to business. It is the countdown to Valentine's Day, and we have three dating experts who are going to cover the three most important aspects of dating. First dates, confidence building, and flirting. That's all you need to know. My first guest is Arthur Malov. He is well known in the USA and abroad. He's very international. He's the leading expert on the psychology of dating, if you ask me. But also, you know, according to the New York Times, Time Out New York, Learning Annex, Russia Today TV, a lot of outlets also see his excellence as a dating expert. And he's also a senior partner with the International Dating Coach Association, better known as IDCA. So let's give big smooches to my first guest, Arthur Malov. Are you still with us? Did we scare you away after the dating dish?
Is those smooches? I don't know. They're impressive.
Thank you. Yes. Well, you're far away. You're in New York City, so we have to throw the smooches. We have to blow the smooches across the country to you.
All the snow is here. You guys probably in a beautiful, beautiful, sunny place.
Yeah, we're just totally unaware of what is happening in the rest of the world. Like my best friend lives in Baltimore.
Storm, actually, last
I
night.
Heard.
Giant.
My best friend called me from Baltimore, and she's like, "We're having a nor'easter." I was like, "What? That sounds tropical." No, I'm sorry. Well, you're locked up, so you have to talk to us, Arthur. First dates.
All right.
This is like the most stressful thing for all of my clients I know, and I'm sure yours too. Yeah. And as a dating coach, I'm sure you've seen a lot of bad first dates.
Yeah.
What are the biggest mistakes that people are making in their first date experience?
So it varies. I mean, it really varies. So we do a lot of mock dates, and that's really where you can observe what people do and do not do. And so I tend to do those, and so I observe for men and women, it really varies. So I think for guys is being too forward, and I don't mean being direct.
You mean like trying to get
No, I don't mean that. I don't mean being aggressive. That's a very easy one. That's usually guys who are too aggressive, it comes off very obvious. But I mean forward, like needy. So the guy is really trying hard to impress, and so he's being almost he's giving out away all the information. So women have tendency sometimes to ask machine gun questions. So they start with one, then two, then three, then four, then
it's
five.
It's like an interview. Like the women are just like,
it becomes
where are you from? Where'd you go to school? And what's your family like? And then the guys get in.
The problem with that is it's bad for a woman and it's bad for a guy. Those kind of questions. And that's unfortunately what most people do on a date. So I would say probably one of the biggest things that people can change is by changing how they start a first date.
And
the guy, especially if he is not like very super confident, if he doesn't have that much experience, maybe he just got divorced or he didn't date a lot, or maybe even if he dated a decent amount, this kind of questions will throw off the energy. So women tend to come in with a list, and the guys tend to come in with kind of, I hope I'm going to get second date. So the biggest discrepancy we find between women and men is mindset on a first date.
So how can they reframe their mindset? You know, if the woman like has her set questions and they're not working out for her, what's a better approach that she can have going into the date?
So, and the big part of IDCA that we talk about, it's really that there is not that much range of, in terms of mindset, it's not like you can do anything. For women, usually, rather than come in with a preset of questions, it's better to have a couple of stories that just recently happened.
Yeah.
So that maybe something funny or something that would break the ice. And that will help the dynamic a lot, because guys usually feel like they are the interviewee. And if you Demone, you probably have seen it yourself in your practice, that the guys are really intimidated. And they don't know what to do, right? People go into that questions. Hey, where are you from? What do you do? What do you for a living? And by the time you end that, you know, even if it's only 2 minutes, 3 minute segment, the energy drops.
Right.
And it's very bad.
You want to leave it on a high note. So, in your opinion, how long do you think a first date should last?
First date should last 1 hour plus minus 10 minutes. You know, it shouldn't be much longer than 1 hour, mainly because going back to the energy, if questions that are boring or that are predetermined drop the energy, in general also we learn about people physiologically differently. So you don't make friends right away. You tend to learn about them over a period of time. Yes. Therefore, a lot of people make a big mistake where they go on a first date, and by 1 hour, the energy is good. And the tendency is, hey, if it goes well, then just, you know, keep going.
Right, exactly. And then it's like a 5 hour date and they run out of things to talk about. So
yeah, energy drops.
And
yeah.
You look at this as an hour, because I always say that for online dates, but then people ask me, well, what if I met her at a party or met her through a friend? Should that be a 1 hour date too? Doesn't matter.
It does not matter at all. It's mainly because it's physiological. We learn about people over time. So it doesn't matter how we met her or how, you know, by living earlier, you still have a lot more things to talk about.
Right.
So especially if you're not that good, meaning if you don't go on that many dates or you keep messing them up, then you should exit earlier because you'll be able to figure out what you did wrong, be that for a man or a woman.
Where's a good place to go on a first date? Because, you know, you can't have dinner in an hour, right?
No. Dinner is horrible, not just because of an hour. Dinner is not necessarily because of food. It just, the dynamic becomes very serious. The energy gets very tense. So now it really becomes almost like an interviewing process where you're facing face-to-face. And now there's so many things you can mess up. You look at it. Now you're thinking, maybe she's thinking, I'm going to order food or how am I taking to meet your ID. So you're really taking up a notch in terms of seriousness. So dinner date is one of the worst dates.
I will admit, I have some clients that are self-described as more traditionalists, more traditional daters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, particularly women, they're like, I like having dinner on the first date. Now, I agree with you, Arthur, but I just, you know, I want to know what to say to them when they say, you know, they want to know if the man is serious about them. So if he's not going to drop like $1.50 on dinner for me, he's really not wooing me. He's not, you know, chivalrous, or, you know, my favorite word.
In
dating.
That's what they might be thinking. But once again, emotionally, the date, like a dinner date, drops the energy for everybody, for both her, even if she's thinking logically, that is. Dating is not logical, it's emotional. And therefore, when a guy invests that much, and it's not about fun anymore. So therefore, if she's really looking for serious relationship right away, that's great. The thing is, she's not going to find chemistry like that.
So it could actually backfire. Like if she's...
Oh, it will backfire.
If he has that expectation, because he paid $150 for her, he has that expectation that, you know... I mean,
she meant something
like that?
She's investing, and that takes the fun out of it. In a way, it becomes almost... In fact, what she's really saying is, I'm an interviewee and interviewer, and he's interviewee, and now we're going to put some money on it. So you're really taking all the fun out of it.
Mm.
Therefore, mindset should be, on a first date in general, for women we find they tend to have kind of see what happens. But the problem is, see what happens is not a good mindset, because you don't see what happens. You just start asking questions about work, and where you're from, and in the first 5 minutes. Therefore, the good focus for both men and women is to have fun, and fun meaning have a few stories. Like, everybody should have one or two or maybe three stories that they can tell that are positive and that tell something about your character or characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than try to, and because that's usually will mean, let's say if it's a woman, she tells a funny story, it shows her personality rather than being serious. It shows it in a very different light than if she was asked a question.
And it also,
and
like,
then the guy usually matches. Mm-hmm.
Tapping into someone's emotions, whether you make them laugh or, you know, make them remember something that happened in their past that they feel nostalgic about, that can only help you, right?
It's huge. Yeah, absolutely. It's all of a sudden you go off that beaten path of work, school, vacation, and you go into something enjoyable that happened to you. Maybe you went to, I don't know, Renaissance Fair recently, and you want to tell a cool story about it.
And guess what? Fair.
That will.
And they'll either love you or they will run the other way.
No, it's never been negative. It's because if you're opening up and it's fun. I mean, yes, if you're going to, I don't know, like if you're a real Star Trek fan, you know, and you love it and you just can't live it out, it don't talk about it. But if you never do something like that and you went to saw a movie about it and something struck you about it, although movies are not a good topic, but even then, if you feel passionate about it, it's really good to talk about.
Totally.
Because then the person will feel your passion and they will also give them ideas and they will share something with you.
So what about the end of the date? How do you let someone know that you are interested? Do you say it up front, like, let's do this again? Or is there something more subtle that can deliver that message?
Once again, behavior for men and women differs here. Women tend to not say that. So the tendency is usually that they want to think about what's going to happen. So we find that women are better at almost like, if you compare dating to playing poker, women are way better at it in general. They keep the cards till whenever. They don't want to show it to you. And because guys don't read signals that well to begin with, guys tend to just rush forward like they don't, you know, hoping that by being desperate or needy, like if the guy says, I'm going to see you, I want to see you again, she better be really interested.
Yes, or then you get because he just showed all his cards. Right?
Yeah, he just shows off his cards. There's no mystery, there's no tension, which obviously is a big part of dating. So by not saying, I will see you soon, or even starting to plan a date, which is even worse, but saying something like, it was really good seeing you, and giving her a hug, showing through actions rather than words, is much more powerful.
Totally. This is all really good advice, Arthur. I feel so lucky that I've known you for a while, but I'm able to share your expertise with our listeners. And, you know, as far as first dates go, this is really like the make it or break it time. So I think all this advice is really good for people as they go through their pre-Valentine's Day screening process.
Yeah, it's not that complicated. Lots of people make first dates complicated. It's not. It's keep it short, enjoy it rather than hoping to get second date, which is the biggest problem for guys.
Uh-huh.
And be able to share some passions and stories. That's it.
And just have fun.
That's it.
Thank you so much, Arthur. Three steps. We can keep it simple. If you are listening and you need a dating coach, you need someone that can give you the personalized attention and one-on-one advice to get you from first date to first base to the altar, you should go online and find an IDCA certified coach in your area. You can go to datingcoach.org and you can find people in New York area like Arthur or someone where you are. Thank you so much for joining us, Arthur. Next up, we're going to have Israel Sharev, who's going to tell us about how singles can build confidence to get that dream date and turn it into a dream relationship. You're listening to Dates and Mates on the Universal Broadcasting Network. We are broadcasting live from Sunset Gower Studios in Hollywood. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Universal Broadcasting Network. You are listening to Dates and Mates, and I'm your host, Damona Hoffman. And daters, if you are feeling the crunch from the Valentine's Day countdown, I have something that will definitely help you get on track before February 14th. Get your free video, The 5 Biggest Online Dating Mistakes You're Probably Making Right Now and How to Fix Them. It's free on my website at DearMrsD.com. So now I'm here with another IDCA dating master, Israel Sharev. Israel is the learn by doing kind of guy. He's a night coaching and body language expert. He started at the bottom and worked his way up, trying things and learning from his own results. And he's been featured in a number of publications, including Slate, Wall Street Journal, Vanity Fair, ABC, and many more. He's also the program director at IDCA. Please give big smooches to Israel Sharev.
Hello.
Hi, Israel.
How are you? There you go. And just to clarify, my last name is Ironstein. I don't know why they got Sharev. I think it's kind of a confusion with a different name, but Israel is the right name, so you definitely can go by that.
Okay, good. I thought that's what it was, but a little birdie told me otherwise. So, Israel Ironstein, welcome to the show. So, confidence.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Confidence is just one of those things that people struggle with but don't really know how to build it, how to overcome it. And, you know, for a lot of men out there, like, how can they even be confident enough to get the nerve to talk to a girl? How do you help someone build confidence at the IDCA?
Here you go. So I'm not going to go into why confidence is important, because it's so obvious. And if I start talking about that, I can do a whole session about why confidence is important. But I believe your educated listeners understand all the reasons why confidence is important and how it affects in dating. And it affects men and women. In 2014, men expect their women to be confident as well. They want to see a person. They don't want to date just a nobody. So you female listeners out there, you need to bring your personality out there. I like to say, people want to date who you are. They don't want to date you. They want to date who you are. Hmm. So if you don't have who you are, then this is what you should be working on.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Who you are.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so in terms of confidence, and when we at the International Dating Coaching Association, when we teach our coaches, one of the things they always want to know, how do we teach confidence? And we always try. So how do you teach confidence? And most people try to teach confidence by giving positive feedback or by telling people, just be more confident. Just come in more confident. Just raise your shoulders and put your chin up. And the truth is, it doesn't really work, because it's not like people leave the house and make a decision. Am I going to be confident today or not? No, today I'm not going to be confident. It doesn't work that way. People have a hard time being confident. And there is three ways to improve on confidence. Very simple way that IDCA coaches will teach their clients. And we'll start with the technical one. The technical one is small increments. Somebody has low self-confidence or low confidence with dating, it's because of what they've been doing hasn't been working. So for a guy especially, getting into like, okay, go to meet a girl and talk to her and be friendly and get the phone number and get a date, it's very hard, especially when approaching anybody is a hard thing for them. Just even going to when we are out there in the field with a client, we go to a lounge, and the person is very shy. They can't go over to a girl and say, hey, you look like you're having a good time. My name is Israel. What's your name? I'd like to talk to you. So you don't have the confidence to do that. But what they could do is they can go, for example, to somebody who's working at the place and say, hey, do you serve food here? Or till what time are you open? Starting very slowly. And that can give the temporary confidence boost. Oh, that person really responded to me.
They didn't blow me off. They didn't call me an asshole. But isn't it a little bit also of that anticipating the outcome? So it's kind of like what Arthur was saying, when people are on a date and they're like not thinking about having fun on the date, they're thinking about, am I going to get the second date? It's kind of the same thing when you're just out talking to people. If you're focused on, I have to get her phone number, you're putting a lot of pressure on that approach, aren't you?
Exactly. Now, in terms of confidence, so going small increments at a time definitely makes you, you know, oh, I got good feedback, so I don't have to worry. One of the things that I know you do, and you have an infield coach, and I know she does the same thing, is like, don't do anything. Don't try to get the number. Don't try to. Then you take out all that pressure. Mm-hmm. Just come in and ask a small question and get the feedback. I know that. And in terms of confidence, it's important for our listeners to divide it into two. So there is something called confidence in doing something. For example, LeBron James has great confidence when he plays basketball. But if they ask him to fly a plane, he probably doesn't know how to do that. And he may not have confidence flying a plane. Mm-hmm. So when people date, one of the things that they don't realize is that dating is a skill. And if somebody doesn't have confidence dating, maybe because they don't know how to, and going to someone and say, hey, we'll teach you how to do it, so you feel like, I'm not just going blind, I know what I'm doing and I know what to do, what not to do, that itself gives you confidence in the skill of what you're doing. So if I wanted to be confident in the kitchen, I'd go learn how to cook. I can't expect going to the cook and be confident making dishes that are complicated without anyone teaching me. And that's to learn that, to get confident in dating, you need to feel like you know what you're doing. You're not just kind of like trying something, and definitely not trying something that hasn't worked before. Then your confidence actually goes down and down and down. So number one thing is to feel like you know what you're doing. Get a theme. The deeper thing is to get self-confidence, and that's a whole nother level. Because the real, everything, this is so interesting. What we are dating coaches are doing, we're trying to help people in so many different ways, but people who have true self-confidence, they know exactly who they are, they feel confident, most of them don't need dating coaching unless they have a specific reason that they have an issue with dating. For example, if they grew up in a very extreme religious community or in a foreign country where the dating culture is different, or if they have had bad experience with the opposite sex, maybe with previous relationship or with a parent or within a history of abuse. So if they have something like that, then they would have a specific hard time with dating. But most people need to learn self-confidence. And what is self-confidence? So if you're a client out there and you want to know how you can improve your self-confidence, this is what I would say. Self-confidence starts with being who you are, being comfortable with who you are. Judge yourself by who you really are. And you basically have to understand and break down to yourself who you are. And you want to create a set of moral values, a set of preferences, a set of beliefs, and most importantly, boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know my values are A, B, C, my preferences. So sometimes clients come in and we have to ask them, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite season of the year? What's your favorite food? If your listeners out there, you're not sure about those answers, or if you kind of know, think you know the answer, but you don't really own it, you don't really feel this is me, this would be a perfect homework for you to do. Start writing down, what's my favorite color? What's my favorite time of the year? What's my favorite food? What's my favorite article of clothes? Start creating a personality for yourself. Once you know who you are, you're going to feel like when you come into a date or when you come into a situation, somebody is coming in. It's not a nobody. And
right.
Most important, and that's the... Yep. Go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, I do run into this with a lot of my clients. I talk about it from a branding perspective, like what is the product you? And if you don't even know these basics, it's sort of like going into a presentation and not having written any note cards down, you know, if you don't have like if you know your talking points, if you know what your subject you're speaking on, if you know you love mint chocolate chip ice cream, when somebody asks you your favorite flavor of ice cream, you're not going to flounder. And I think that's where a lot of people get tripped up. Like that's
right.
Great advice for everyone listening.
100%. And what keeps this whole thing together, and this is the most important thing about creating who you are, is the boundaries. So
right.
Knowing your preferences, knowing your moral values, knowing your beliefs will create a personality for yourself. And by the way, it's important for you to know who you are, because then you're going to be able to judge yourself in your own eyes and not in other people's eyes. If you know that your own values are how you treat other people or how you passionate about things or how you feel compassionate about other people and empathy, and these things are important for you. You're not going to feel bad about yourself if you're not good on the dance floor.
Right,
you're not
exactly.
Going to come in and say, oh my God, I'm worthless because I can't dance. No, that's not part of your own values and what you believe is important. And what keeps all these together is the boundaries.
Right.
Have your own boundaries.
And not assuming like people are making judgments about you because there's actually a Match.com commercial where, you know, they film the real dates and the woman says, I'm terrible at dating. I'm like, I have two left feet. And I love that she is just owning that because someone is going to love her for her honesty about that and also for all the other great qualities that she brings to the table.
And I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up about somebody who's saying they're terrible at dating, because this is another aspect of confidence that IDCA coaches teach the clients that is so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically separating the product from the marketing.
Uh-huh.
So if somebody came to me and said, I have a product, it's meant to do something, and I've been trying to market it for 2 years and nobody's buying it. What I would look into is the product really good? Is it really working? Does it do what it's supposed to do?
Right.
If it doesn't,
fix the product. And if it does, fix the marketing.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
But if the product sucks, the problem is the marketing. Now,
right.
Your client out there at home, I want to ask you a question. And don't answer it to me, answer it
okay.
to yourself.
Ask it quick, because this is we have to wrap up and get to our flirting segment.
I'll make it quick. What kind of product are you? Are you going to be a good boyfriend? Are you going to be a good girlfriend? Are you going to be a good wife? Are you going to be a good husband? If you believe you're going to be a good boyfriend and a good girlfriend, you are a great product. All you have to work on is the marketing. And remember that.
I love it. I love it. I hope everyone was taking copious notes, Israel, because I think this is some of the most valuable. This is the foundation for everything that they're doing in their dating life, whether they're online or offline or meeting people in bars or whatever. This is the foundation for how to do it. So we are going to wrap up our Valentine's Day countdown show with a master in flirting. Thank you for joining us, Israel. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, it's going to be all about flirting. You're listening to Dates and Mates. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Dates and Mates. I'm your host, Damona Hoffman. And if you are listening live, you got to get in the discussion. We are talking to the best dating coaches in the biz. And if you have questions before Valentine's Day, you got to hop on that chat roll. You can sign in with Facebook or Twitter and get your questions answered. So we talked about first dates. You talked about building confidence. And now a dating boot camp would not be complete without talking about flirting. So I'm here with Rich Holman. He is a flirting coach in New York City, and he has the perfect background for teaching people how to be comfortable in their own skin and thinking on their feet. From comedy, he's been on many TV shows, including IFC's Bunk and Comedy Central. He's also a contributor to College Humor and McSweeney's. Please give big smooches to my guest, flirting expert Rich Holman.
Hey, how's it going?
Rich, it's going great. Flirting, man, this is a huge topic for my clients. In fact, our highest rated show of last year was an interview with flirting expert Tracy Steinberg. So do you believe that flirting is something that can be taught?
Oh, absolutely. So just a little background on me and how I approach it is I approach it through improv. So I perform and teach a lot of long form improv, and improv is another thing that when people see it, it looks like people being clever on stage, but the reality is there is a really solid technique behind that also. Macroscopically, what improv is about is getting comfortable with taking risk. And flirting is very similar, because you're touching on people's vulnerabilities, and that can go both ways, right? You can do that in a way that hurts people, that offends people, or you can do it in a sympathetic way that's really fun. The metaphor I like to use is a roller coaster ride. Roller coasters are fun because ultimately, no, they're safe, but you're still indulging in fear. You're indulging in those kind of negative emotions, but in a way that's safe, so it's really fun. If you thought the roller coaster would go off the tracks, it wouldn't be so much fun.
Well, I also find, you know, with improv, you have to also be really present. You have to be listening and responding. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel like on a date, people are just waiting for their turn to speak. But it doesn't help you connect to another person, right?
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. And that's a lot of what I focus on, especially in like a first session, is making sure that that attention is external. And the metaphor, a lot of improv exercises kind of feel like party games, where ultimately there's no way to make a mistake. In a sense, the only way to make a mistake is to not play. So you want to keep playing. You want to keep listening and keep looking. And it's very much like a sport. You know, if you're playing ping pong, you cannot be thinking, what shot will I make in five shots? You have to be watching the ball and waiting for it and hitting it back. Mm-hmm. So it is that tough combination of kind of using your inner sense, but really having your attention external. Just like improv. Yeah.
So Rich, a lot of women that come to me are, you know, over 35, and they say, I think I just got a face from producer Natasha. They say, I've forgotten how to flirt, you know, or I don't think I really know how to flirt. Is it possible that, like, maybe you had the skill in your 20s and then you did forget it? Or are you blocking it? What's going on there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think like anything, once
you know, it's a muscle you exercise, and if you don't for a while, it will feel unfamiliar, and that's, you know, I mean, so much of it is confidence, and that's what I really try to work on. Like, I want people in the sessions to come out feeling good. I mean, most people are, I'm sure your experience, are hypercritical of themselves, but they do so much well. They do a lot of things well that they don't give themselves credit for. So you got to start with that, you know. So many people, especially female clients I've talked to, one, obviously, culturally, we're still, there's still this, you know, traditional thing of men approaching women, and I really try to encourage women to approach men, and otherwise they are kind of, you know, not taking their destiny in their own hands. And I mean, I think it's, as a woman, for a woman, it's kind of easy to flirt with a guy in a way, because men are not used to being approached the way women are being approached, and it's flattering. I mean, if a woman approaches me, it's very flattering.
I'm glad you said that, because I really, there's always this constant debate between, you know, traditional chivalry and, you know, I have arguments with my clients sometimes about whether if they send an email on a dating site or a wink, whether they are rewriting the rules of chivalry. And it's like, you know, there's definitely a line between becoming too aggressive and just flirting and opening up conversation. How do you explain that line to your clients?
Sure. I mean, I think it's a step-by-step process. So you kind of, and it's definitely, you know, a different case online, because it's harder to pick up on cues sometimes because you're not in somebody's presence. But I think ultimately you are baby steps. I mean, when we do role plays of approaches, literally approaching a stranger and talking to them, the first thing I say to a man or woman is, just put yourself in the physical space of the other person, not in too close proximity or anything, but just to let somebody know you're there before you even speak. Have a different focus of attention. I would not just go straight up to somebody and begin speaking to them. If someone is looking at, say, a bookshelf at a Barnes & Noble, go look at a different book. Just be there in their space, so there's nothing threatening or intrusive about it. And then, you know, I would at first especially adopt a tone of I'll call it gentle low status. So if you're not giving anything away, you're not making yourself into an object for the other person, but you are kind of with your body language and tone asking if it's okay to engage them. You know, because as good as your technique may be, there are people who just don't want to be approached at a given time.
Are there people though that you've kind of caught off guard where it like looks like they don't want to be bothered, but you know, sometimes people will immerse themselves in their phone actually because they're feeling uncomfortable and they don't know how to start a conversation with someone. You can kind of turn around the situation, right?
That's another great point. I mean, ultimately, the reason I really like, another reason I like the improv approach is that it takes the pressure off. So instead of seeing meeting a stranger as kind of a zero-sum game where I either get accepted or rejected, you just can kind of learn with practice to treat it like a neutral interaction, that it's a win just by having tried. And you really don't lose anything if you do approach someone who does not want to be talked to. That's fine, you know? You deal with it, you say goodbye, and that's that. And it's not a referendum on your self-worth.
That's great advice.
You know, it's another data point. It's another data point in learning how to interact and flirt and really be the self, your best self in those situations.
Well, Rich, we are in the countdown to Valentine's Day. I don't know if you're feeling that ticking clock, but I know a lot of my clients are. So I know there's a lot of people listening who are like, okay, I got to do something. I have 3 weeks left. What can I do tomorrow that is going to change my odds? You know, how can I get better at flirting right now? What's one thing they can do and see an immediate result tomorrow?
Well, I think the number one thing, because we're looking at this as a technique that can be learned, is to practice. So if you're starting tomorrow, if this is your goal, I would say whatever venue you're comfortable in approaching people, whether it's a bar at night, a bookstore during the day, a park, somewhere at work, start practicing. Approach people with no crazy goal in mind, not to like find someone to spend your life with, just to make contact. Make your first goal just to be able to have a two-minute conversation. And then maybe once you feel good about that, the next goal is to get a phone number. So you're not, it's not the weight of the world on you. So
can
definitely,
a woman,
definitely practicing.
Can a woman ask for a phone number, or is that still off limits these days?
I personally think that yes, absolutely. I think any, you know, those delineations to me in terms of culture and tradition are kind of not useful once we get down to like a personal connection. I mean,
so is there a slick way she can do it? Is there a slick way she can do it? Like, how can she be slick and do it without just being like, "Hi, can I get your phone number?" Because that is still a little weird, I guess. Mm-hmm.
It can be, but I mean, I think one way to do it is one in that conversation. If you find something in common, if there's a some kind of event that you're talking about that you have in common, some kind of information, a book, a movie, anything, it can be like, "Hey, why don't you give me your number and I'll text you when I hear about, you know, these tickets going on sale, or, you know, if I find that book you were talking about." So it's something, so there's some kind of a sensible other reason to get the number besides just like, "Hey, let's maybe be each other's Valentine's in a few weeks."
Too much pressure. That's great advice, Rich.
Yeah, too much pressure.
Thank you so much for all your insight on dating and flirting. I hope everyone who is listening will try that out tomorrow and see what a difference it can make in their dating lives. Just a few little tweaks. Thank you so much.
Give it a shot. Why not?
Thank you.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
If you are listening, you can get one-on-one personalized coaching wherever you are just by visiting datingcoach.org. And you can find an IDCA certified coach like all the wonderful fellas that we've been talking to today, who's near you. If you're in the LA area, that coach could be me. But there's a lot of great coaches online at datingcoach.org. So get to it. We are in the countdown to Valentine's Day. If you're not in LA, you can still get access to the same great coaching that I give my one-on-one clients. Get started by claiming your free video, The 5 Biggest Dating Mistakes, Online Dating Mistakes You're Probably Making Right Now, and How to Fix Them at DearMrsD.com. This show is a Dear Mrs. D production and has been produced by Natasha Lewin. Dates and Mates has been made possible by UBN Radio, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Huffington Post, JDate, and The Lash Lounge LA. Make your appointment today for fabulous lashes like mine. And you can get a $20 discount using the code Dear Mrs. D just by going to LashLoungeLA.com. Tune in every Wednesday to get more love advice and get caught up on our archived episodes on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, UBN Radio, and iTunes. And a big announcement, in two more weeks, we're going to be moving up 1 hour to 11 a.m. Pacific right after the Bob Show on February 5th. So next week, we'll see you at the same time, but the week after, we'll be moving up. So until then, happy dating.